This is Radio Equal Shock with your host, Alex Smith.
In eternal darkness, under extreme pressure, sea creatures populate even the deep ocean. We know too little about them. Humans seldom venture there, and yet even there at the bottom of the sea, human-made climate change will throw danger into the ecosphere. It is not heat directly, but something else. Here to explain is Dr. Andreas Oschlies. He is professor of marine biogeochemical modeling at the GeoMar Project, and that is part of the Helmholtz Center for Ocean Research, a government-funded science agency in Kiel, Germany. Dr. Oschlies has serious news about our long-term impact on ocean life, as published in Nature Communications in April 2021. The title is A Committed Fourfold Increase in Ocean Oxygen Loss. From Germany, Andreas Oschlies, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Many thanks for inviting me and for giving me a chance to present this recent discovery.
Yes, well, pretty well everything in your latest article surprised me to begin with. Until recently, many people presumed the world would keep on warming long after we managed to stop our carbon dioxide emissions. Can we really think that the news is better, that various forces stabilize temperatures at whatever the new normal becomes when we get to net zero emissions? Is that the new thinking?
Well, the news is perhaps pretty good for us living at the surface of the Earth, and also for creatures living in the surface ocean. So there we find all climate models right now find that when we stop emitting greenhouse gases, then warming will stop very quickly. So that's the warming at the surface. But still, the entire planet is not in equilibrium. It's still disturbed. There's a lot of CO2 remaining in the atmosphere for hundreds and thousands of years. And this will perturb the radiation balance of the planet. Unfortunately, this planet has an ocean, so the ocean is saving us to some extent. It is taking up heat. So far, it has taken up 93% of all the heat induced by anthropogenic man-made CO2, and that will continue for hundreds and thousands of years. So the ocean is slowly heating up, and most of the ocean today doesn't know that the Industrial Revolution has happened, and that CO2 is accumulating in the atmosphere. The ocean ventilation is slow, so it takes thousands of years to transport the surface signal into the deep ocean. And for that time, during that time, the ocean will keep up heat and thereby stabilize temperatures at the surface of the planet when we stop emitting greenhouse gases.
Surface temperature aside, though, we know some natural forces are committed to change over the centuries, no matter what, as you say. For example, NASA predicts the Thwaites Glacier in Antarctica, the melt of that is unstoppable, and perhaps permafrost thaw may already be tipped. But you find another unstoppable change in the deep ocean. Please explain the problem you set out to solve with new modeling.
Yes, so we know there are a few committed changes that are in the pipeline already and will continue for hundreds and thousands of years, like warming penetrating into the deep ocean, like glaciers melting, like permafrost melting. And in the model study we carried out, we looked at oxygen in the ocean. And this is a pretty recent discovery, that oxygen is declining rapidly in the ocean. So the ocean has lost 2% of its oxygen inventory over the last 50 years only. So if we continue at that rate, there wouldn't be any oxygen left in 2,500 years. And so this is a dramatic decline in oxygen, which is needed by all higher trophic level, by all fish, by all animals living in the ocean. And so this oxygen decline has worried us for some time. This is already, it's a pretty recent discovery that this is so rapid. It's only discovered in the last few years. And in this study, we now looked at whether there's any oxygen change in the pipeline. Most current climate models show that oxygen loss, what we call oxygen deoxygenation of the ocean, that it is increasing under all climate scenarios that we have over the course of this century. And so the question of this study was to investigate what will happen if we stop emitting CO2? Would deoxygenation stop, oxygen loss in the ocean stop, or would it continue? And the surprising finding of the study was that deoxygenation will continue for hundreds of years, and even if we stop emitting CO2, only about a quarter of the oxygen loss is realized by today, and three quarters are still to come, even if we completely clean up our act and stop emitting CO2 today. Three quarters of the oxygen loss in the ocean is already in the pipeline and will, according to our models, happen in the next few hundred years.
To be clear, in this study, you're not really focusing on the dead zones which pop up in the various parts of the world causing mass die-offs, including fisheries, are you?
We looked at the dead zones as well, but since these are usually pretty close to the surface, on the surface ocean, and we found that these dead zones, they do not show a large expansion if we stop emitting CO2. So that's maybe the good news, that if we stop emitting CO2 today, then we can also pretty quickly stop the expansion of the oceanic dead zones, which are, most of them are located in the upper few hundred meters, so that's what we call surface ocean, which is in close contact with the atmosphere on a timescale of a few decades, and then it equilibrates with the surface temperatures. And since surface temperatures in the atmosphere stop warming, stop rising when we stop emitting CO2, these changes in the upper ocean, where most of the currently exploited and valuable ecosystems for us live, those changes can be arrested pretty quickly on the timescale of decades if we stop emitting greenhouse gases. So that is good news of the study. There's a chance to stop devastating changes in the upper ocean, but there's little chance to stop devastating changes in the deep ocean, because that is, these perturbations are carried into the deep ocean with the general overturning circulation of the ocean and with the general slowdown of the overturning circulation, because the ocean is heating from above. So we put a lid of light, warm water to the surface ocean, and that is making ventilation of the deep ocean more and more difficult, because the stratification stabilizes, and there's not enough energy to really pump this lighter surface water into the deep ocean. And this is slowing down, and therefore less oxygenated surface waters reach the deep ocean.
The oceans don't heat up a lot in the sense that if we stick our finger in it, we probably couldn't tell the difference. But even marginally warmer seas will hold less oxygen according to physics. Why is that?
Well, all gases in water or in liquid dissolve, and there's some equilibrium between gas dissolved in the water, in the seawater, and the overlying atmosphere. When it gets warmer, the molecules move around faster on the water, and there's a higher chance for those molecules to leave the water, the sea surface, and to move into the atmosphere, because they are pushed around by higher temperatures more quickly, they move faster. So at higher temperatures, the ocean is losing all gases. And oxygen is one of these dissolved gases, and the solubility just declines with rising temperatures. That's an effect we know from sparkling water or beer or champagne, whatever you use, what you may have in your fridge. You have it in the fridge in order to keep the CO2 in the drink, in the liquid. When you take it out of the fridge and leave it out in the sun, everything, the bubbles will bubble out and the gas will bubble out, and it doesn't taste so well anymore. And that's happening with the ocean as well, and with gases in the ocean, the solubility declines with rising temperatures.
But there's more than physics at work here. Really, it was through this article that I understood what biogeochemical in your title means. Yes, ocean chemistry changes because of more sluggish currents in the new climate state. But this deoxygenation comes from living things operating at depth. What sort of species are down there, and could they stifle as ocean chemistry changes?
Well, that's mostly bacteria. Like everywhere, that's the most numerous organisms on the planet. And in the water, we have bacteria that decompose whatever sinks into the water, falls into the water, all organic matter that is around is decomposed by bacteria. A few bacteria and algae in the surface ocean, they use solar light, photons, to do photosynthesis, and they produce organic matter, biomass, from solar energy. So that's a net production. And as a byproduct, they produce oxygen, like plants do and like trees do on land. So that's really a byproduct the plants don't need, they have to get rid of, and that's producing oxygen that we can then breathe and other animals can breathe. So this is the distinction. Plants do produce oxygen, but they need light. They can only live in the surface layer of the ocean. That's the upper 100 meters, perhaps. And the ocean overall, on average, is about 4,000 meters deep. So most of the ocean is dark, doesn't have any light. And there we can only have decomposers, so organisms that depend on material sinking from the light-lit surface zone down into the dark ocean interior. These are bacteria. They respire, like everything that is basically decomposing. That's what we see when we walk through the forest. A lot of things are decomposing on the ground. Same is happening in the water. And occasionally we have a fish or a higher trophic, some animals. We can, it could be jellyfish, could be sharks. They respire. They really need air, oxygen, dissolved in the water, to get the energy from it, drives the muscles, allows them to swim, to hunt, and to digest what they eat. So animals consume part of the oxygen by breathing, but most of the oxygen is really used up by bacteria decomposing whatever sinks down into the dark ocean interior.
It's pretty amazing. Our carbon experiment will reach even the deep ocean, where I presume conditions have been stable for a long time. Or should I presume that? Have they been stable for a long time? And would that stability affect species' ability to adapt to changing oxygen?
Yes, that's what we expect, that conditions have been stable for thousands of years. We don't really know. Nobody was there to look at these. And we even don't know in many areas what is living there today. But we know from a few experiments, like the sinking of the Titanic, that things are going on very, very slowly in the deep ocean. So how these shipwrecks are used as settlement area for new organisms, how the ecosystems respond to perturbations, how the species living in the seafloor, on the seafloor, are affected by such catastrophes. And from that, we infer that there are little changes in the deep ocean so far. So ecosystems there are used to very, very stable environmental conditions. And there are a few species that are hundreds of years old, so sponges in the deep ocean. They can't really move. They can't respond. They can't change to environmental conditions. And the deep ocean also is viewed as having a very stable temperature. So it's a huge volume of water, these 4,000 meters. And to heat up water or cool water, you need a lot of energy. That's what we see when we want to even cook our meal. It takes time to heat up water in our pot. And the ocean is therefore, with its large heat capacity, a huge thermostat, really stabilizing temperatures on Earth, but also providing a stable environment for everything living in the ocean. And this is now changing pretty rapidly, at least when it comes to oxygen. And this is so 10% loss in deep ocean oxygen, that's what we find from our models, would be a dramatic change in living and environmental conditions for species being around there and having seen stable oxygen conditions, stable temperature conditions for thousands of years. So we have evolved in a stable environment. But now, in the next few hundred years, we'll see pretty dramatic changes.
You got me wondering, with slower ocean mixing, do other waste gases produced by living things remain longer in the deep ocean as well? Would that change biochemistry there?
So we expect that this rain of organic matter into the dark deep ocean will maintain relatively unchanged in the coming centuries. So that means the supply of organic material that can be respired will remain unchanged, and the oxygen consumption therefore remains unchanged. So I think bacteria, they will still see very, very little change. They get their food, and they still have some oxygen left, so the bacteria have a huge capacity to use even traces of oxygen. They are very small. They have a high surface-to-volume area, so a high surface area allows them to get even small amounts of oxygen into the cell. And they can always consume whatever sinks down. It's more difficult for fish, since they have to actively breathe. They have to pump water through the system in order to extract oxygen. And they have to breathe harder and harder, and they probably get less oxygen as well because the gradients across the system is weakened. So there's this 10% decline. The water will be felt by fish, as we experience when we climb a mountain. It's also a couple of percent changes in oxygen, but we have to breathe harder. And this is what fish will feel. They may not suffocate directly, but they have a disadvantage compared to other species around. And they can't spend enough energy to swim away from their enemies. So this is a huge pressure on the ecosystems that environmental conditions change, and particularly fish will feel it. We can't say who will be a winner or loser, but we can say there will be shifts, changes in the ecosystems because of these changing environmental conditions. Species tend to become smaller in response to reduced oxygen levels.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm your host, Alex Smith, with our guest, Professor Andreas Oschlies. He is with the Geomar Helmholtz Center for Ocean Research in Germany. We're talking about deep sea life running low on oxygen as humans heat the world above. Recently, several guests cautioned global averages mean a lot less than regional realities, which could be greater and critical. You come to that problem in your article. Where would you expect deep ocean oxygen decline to be stronger?
We expect that will be felt first at high latitudes, the Southern Ocean and the Arctic. That's where waters tend to sink into the deep ocean. So that's where the signal, the perturbation we apply to the surface world, will be transported into the deep ocean. That's basically the bottleneck that connects the surface world with the deep ocean. Sinking of heavy, dense waters. And this in the current ocean happens at high latitudes, Southern Ocean and the Arctic. And that's what we see in our models. These are the areas where the deoxygenation, the oxygen loss signal penetrates into the deep ocean. And these are also the areas where the relative changes are largest, where we expect about these 10% loss of oxygen in the deep areas of the Southern Ocean, particularly, and the cold waters there just have a longer residence time. They move more slowly, and during that time accumulate a higher oxygen consumption from the bacterial and respiratory activity.
Andreas, when we consider all the warming in the ocean so far, say by 2020, what is the expectation for continued ocean heating?
That will also continue for hundreds of years in the deep ocean. So the surface ocean will stop warming whenever we stop emitting CO2. But the deep ocean is expected to warm up by several tens of degrees. That doesn't sound a lot. But in the deep ocean that has been stable for hundreds and thousands of years, such a temperature change will be felt by many organisms. So they will have to respire, breathe a little quicker to offset this increase in all metabolic rates because of the rise of temperatures. So this is what we see in the models. Heat is penetrating into the deep ocean. The ocean is continuing to absorb heat trapped on Earth due to greenhouse gases. And thereby, the ocean basically acts as a refrigerator for the surface where we live, the surface air doesn't warm because the ocean does the job of taking up all the heat.
And your paper examines marine heat and the oxygen balance until the year 2650, about 630 years from now. Why end there?
Yes, that's an interesting aspect. So we find that that's about the time the heat penetrates down 1 to 2,000 meters in the ocean. So it's a very slow process. The ocean is deep, and it takes time for the heat to penetrate down. When that about 1,000 to 2,000 meter depth level is reached, then the ocean suddenly starts to pick up speed. The ocean overturning completely reorganizes, and it is basically kick-started again. And this warmer water from the southern ocean suddenly starts being not the light lit on the cap on the ocean, but it can penetrate into the deep ocean. And then we see a vigorous restart of the ocean overturning ventilation. So this is basically this effect that warmer waters in the end move a little faster than colder water. So if the entire ocean has warmed after these few hundred years, it will move a little faster, and then in the end also start bringing new oxygen into the ocean. So we find that after a few thousand years, the ocean, if we can believe our current models, which are still very uncertain, but according to these models, the future ocean will be warmer. But once the heat has penetrated through the deep ocean, the overturning will be faster, the ventilation will be faster, and the warmer ocean will contain more oxygen than today. So that might be good news in the very long term. But of course, it doesn't help if there's an intermediate time of very low oxygen. So if fish die, are suffocated, or have to move away because of a lack of oxygen, they will not immediately come back when oxygen is. So whatever goes extinct cannot come back. And this is our worry from these simulations, that there may be a wave of very low oxygen conditions moving through the ocean before a future warmer ocean suddenly kickstarts again, turning over more quickly, and thereby also pumping more oxygen from the surface into the deep ocean.
To be somewhat brutally honest, if very deep sea creatures, both plants and animals, decline with less available oxygen, does that matter to life closer to the surface? Would we even know?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe we wouldn't know, really. So we have many oceans, or many areas of the ocean, like, well, the Black Sea is a prime example. So the Black Sea doesn't have any oxygen below 150 meters depth. About. So it's basically, from that perspective, we could call it a dead zone. But in the surface layer, of course, you know, there's lots of life, fisheries going on, tourism, and it looks like a normal ocean. And only if you have your right equipment, oxygen sensors, and lower them deeper than 150 meters, then you discover suddenly, oh, there's no oxygen at depth. So there's a few thousand meters of water without any oxygen in the entire Black Sea. So from the surface, it might be pretty difficult to really detect what is going on in the interior. But of course, in the long term, it would have large effects on the biodiversity, on the gene pool we have on this planet. And we know from geological history that all major extinction events in the past, in the history of the Earth, they were associated with anoxic oceans. So oxygen loss on the ocean was always a critical element of these large extinction events. We don't really know whether that was always the cause or just correlated with other things going on at the same time. But we do know that these deoxygenation events and anoxic, so complete loss of oxygen in the deep ocean, was always an element of the major extinction events on this planet. We don't know if anybody had lived there on the surface, whether they would have noticed it right away. But we see that after these events, the species change completely. There's new species developing, and those extinct will never come back, of course. So there are large shifts in ecosystems and in biodiversity. That's what we would expect also from such a wave of deoxygenation going through the ocean. It has the potential to permanently change what is around in terms of species, of ecosystems, and eventually that is likely to really penetrate also to the surface and then determine what ecosystems we will have there in the future, what future generations may be able to harvest, to use, and to feed on.
And as we sort of finish up, I noticed that your work is pretty complex. It's wide-ranging. It's too much for one interview. But could you just mention what you do in your role as coordinator of the German research-funded study of climate engineering?
Yes, there we try to assess what options there may be, and particularly in terms of removing CO2 from the atmosphere. So that's our main ambition, to really find out how can we remove CO2 from the atmosphere. Since we know that we cannot reach our climate goals just by reducing emissions, as already we've waited far too long to have a chance to reach climate goals with emission cuts only. And it's according to all the scenarios that go into the IPCC reports that we have available that assume lots of things about economics and population growth and social human behavior. All of these scenarios assume that we have to remove by the end of the century huge amounts of CO2 from the atmosphere, about the same amount that the US and China together have emitted until now. So it's not trivial, and we don't have a roadmap how to do this. And so in this program, we are exploring what could be done. So we can plant forests. That might be one way to suck up a little bit CO2 from the atmosphere. But probably we have also to resort to additional measures, such as putting alkalinity or putting basic alkaline material into the ocean, changing the ocean chemistry, counteracting ocean acidification in order to allow more CO2 entering the ocean. So the ocean in the end there is likely to be a reservoir, carbon reservoir, that can help us to restoring atmospheric conditions in order to reach the climate goals. But there may also be purely technological measures like artificial trees that absorb CO2 via chemical waves from the atmosphere.
From the deepest sea bottom to the complexity of the social reaction to climate change, we've been speaking with Professor Andreas Oschlies. Find links to Andreas and his new article, A Committed Fourfold Increase in Ocean Oxygen Loss, in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Andreas, thank you for sharing this valuable time with us.
Thank you very much, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. That's it for this week. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for keeping your ears on reality in this fast-changing world.